Oh yeah, football is such a part of this whole town. Unfortunately, it'll be part of the town of Perth rather than the town of Melbourne, most particularly tomorrow. It's grand final eve morning. It's Anthony Hudson sitting in the chair for a little while for Gary Lyman, letting Gaz have a little bit of a sleep in over in Perth. He's been such a busy boy. Tim will be with me on this fun Friday, September 24th. Welcome to breakfast on the McCafe menu for our grand final preview. Breakfast with just one sleep. We're going to chat, of course, to the Bulldogs' favourite son, a regular of late, Dougie Hawkins, at about 20 minutes to 8. Four-time Premiership Hawk and former Demon, the man taking all the credit for the turnaround at Melbourne, Jordan Lewis, is going to join us to preview the grand final, Tim, because the grand final hasn't been previewed enough. Comedian Will Anderson will join us on the line, a great Doggies man, at 8:30. Richo will be here, once Gaz is here, of course, after 8 for his racing preview. Of course, we'll talk about the sad passing of former Carlton president John Elliott and former Blues coach, great David Parkin. We'll pay tribute at about 20 past 7, so look forward to catching up with Parko. And I can't wait to catch up with an old mate from a long, long time ago for me. I've been listening to him with you boys, Johnny from Epping, calling in. I can't talk about his kangaroos, but there's so much more to talk about. Get his preview of the grand final. Your calls are always welcome on the ENS open line. 1-300-736-736 and your text on the Temper text machine 0433 98 11 16. Good morning, Watto.
Good morning, Haddo. Can you see what I'm doing now? Can you see what I'm doing with my pen?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Ticking.
I'm just ticking this off. One of my bucket list things to do was to do breakfast radio with you. I've
nice.
Almost achieved that. Now, how are you?
I'm good. Couldn't Gaz just, like, he's...
He's been very, very busy.
It's like running the marathon and getting to the 41.5K mark and then just going, oh, I need a rest.
He's had a big, big day. He had a big luncheon yesterday. No doubt he'll talk about that a bit later, but he's got a big gig that he's got to host again over there today. You know the old grand final lunches that they used to have and he used to host here in Melbourne many years ago?
Yeah, the old ESP lunches.
That's right. Yep. That Hammer took over and he did a great job. Well, he's back doing that over in Perth.
I was a bit dirty on that. I thought I was probably the natural succession to Gaz, but anyway, that's all right. I'm only joking.
Didn't you read the room?
No, clearly not.
That's a big gig, that one. It is. A big gig. A lot of preparation goes into that.
That's one that I'm very happy not to do, to be honest.
Hey, can we just start with Johnny Elliott, though? Because Jack Elliott, obviously, we knew. I didn't know him particularly well, but we crossed paths and you crossed paths with him and that type of thing. And just been reading a lot of the tributes that have been written about him this morning, the passing of John Elliott. What a great Carlton man. Like, you know, the thing that stuck out for me was his love of football.
Yep.
His love of Carlton, but his love of the game, though, too. He would genuinely want to have a conversation with you about the game, about the nuts and bolts of the game. He loved the game. He loved the game of football.
Well, I was very young coming into the media when, I mean, it was a different world. The presidents were everything in those
days.
They were. I mean, there really was that the clubs were small in terms of staff compared to now. The CEO, I came in naively thinking of the CEO as the most important person, and I learned very quickly the CEO just did whatever the president told them to do. And they were colourful. They were, as the reporters, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
They would bag the VFL or the AFL, and I mean, we would get a story, you know, out. Whenever you had a president on, there was story. I know that still happens, but
accessible. Always take your call.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, Frankie Costa was probably the last of that style.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. I'm thinking, well, Kennett is still around.
Jeff and Ed, I suppose, were the last two in a way, but still more of the.
It was described, though, as a larger than life figure.
Yeah.
John Elliott.
Yeah, I know, he was all of that. He was definitely that, wasn't he?
He was. You know, he was so big that as part of Sheed's pre-game address, when we played against Carlton in the 1993, he was referencing John Elliott and the Blue Bloods of Carlton.
Was he really?
It was up on the board. His name was written, you know, John Elliott, Carlton, the Blue Bloods, this is what we're up against today, that type of thing. So they, Richmond and Carlton, had a massive dislike of each other as football clubs, probably a begrudging acknowledgement of how strong and powerful they'd become over the years. But I was just reading some of the things that Elliott said. Back in 1995, their flag year, when he was the chairman or the president of the Carlton Football Club, he said, "I'm seeking humility in victory. There is no doubt this is the greatest club there ever was or ever will be. That's the humility I'm looking for.
Yes, well, humility wasn't always something you associate with John. I mean, look, in the end, it didn't end well at Carlton, did it?
And no.
And he certainly wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but there was no doubt he was a huge, huge figure in football.
Well, he had his name scrubbed off
stand
there. He was humiliated by that and other things that happened around that time.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. But it didn't deter, like, I don't know that, I think reading, you know, articles about him this morning, like, there was bitterness about what took place. But he always loved the Carlton Football Club. And Kuta, who was a huge fan, Anthony Kutafidi, he's a huge fan of John. He said that he loved him. He brought the club together, created this really family-type atmosphere within the club. And his mum and dad loved him too. But you'd go outside after the game and there'd be John having a cigarette with supporters just standing there talking about the game. Loved the footy. A football club-type person.
Yeah, I know. He was certainly passionate about the Blues. There's no doubt about that. So we'll talk more to David Parkin about that a little bit later on. You in grand final mood now?
I'm excited. Obviously, I'm excited. But I'm excited about talking to you about some of these things because you've actually called the game, the big game. I've been there around about, but not actually calling the game. Have you loved doing that over the years? The call, you know, the radio call. You'll be doing it for SCN tomorrow. You've done it for Channel 10 over the years. How much time, effort and thought for you as a caller went into the grand final as opposed to each and every other game that you'd call throughout the course of the season?
I remember calling my first one for radio, which was 1996 at 3AW, and I was extremely nervous doing that, which was North Melbourne and Sydney. I actually reckon that one's a little bit underrated. It was a pretty good grand final. The Swans...
Anthony Stevens' one, wasn't it? We talked to
Anthony... No, that wasn't that one, I don't think.
That's not the one where he got strapped up. No, it wasn't. Sorry, I got the wrong one.
Yeah, so it was. There was a fair bit of emotion around Sydney because they'd come, Barass had been there and then Rocket had taken over. So it was Rocket's first year.
That's right.
And Plugger was bigger than big. And they got, I think, about three goals up in that first half. But North were the overwhelming favourites and, they'd been there so many times. So they got through to win. And then my first TV one was 2002. So it was Brisbane's second grand final. And I just remember, it was a wet, cold, miserable Melbourne day. And I just remember that I couldn't believe I was calling a grand final for TV and that it was close. And I remember I elbowed Quarters, calling with Quarters. I elbowed him half after a goal and just whispered to him, "How good is this? We're doing a grand final and it's close." And it was so exciting. I mean, you are extremely nervous though. There's no doubt because particularly calling for TV, it's the history of the game, I suppose. That's you're the voice to it.
Do you get really wound up or worked up about making sure that you don't make errors or you capture the moment correctly? I mean, is that sort of something that comes into your thinking, or does it just happen so quickly that you get caught up in the game and you just call like it would be any other game?
Yeah, I think it has a different feel to it. That first 10, the players talk about it as a player. The first 10 or 15 minutes always have a different feel to it. And then you get into the game. And then as you get into that second half and that wherever the pivotal point is of the game, again, it just has that sharpness to it. The first thing you're trying to do is not make a mistake. So it's really back to the basics of calling. Because you just don't want to,
if you make a mistake as a player, you can be a little bit tentative the next time you go for the ball, perhaps.
Yeah.
What about as a commentator? Are you a little bit tentative the next time you call?
Yeah, no doubt. It's one, and you don't forget it either. You don't forget it for that whole game.
Well, that's because your phone keeps going off. Yeah, people keep reminding you.
These days,
what are you doing?
These days, that's what happens. But yeah,
did you have a favourite? Did you have a favourite caller that you like to be alongside? Are there more? Are some more? You don't have to name them. More generous than others?
No, I think people have different styles, and no doubt about that. And you sort of gel better with some than others, I suppose. But in terms of length of time, some callers like to call for longer and they expect you to call for longer. Whereas I'm more a shorter, I like to call for a short period and then switch over. So sometimes you can get a bit out of rhythm.
Are you a tap on the back man or a tap on the leg man when you're calling with somebody?
I'm more a point man.
They're not socially
distant. No, probably just on the shoulder, I think.
Hey, I want to play you this and then I want to get your reaction to it. This is Stephen Quatermain, 2005 grand final, late in the game, Swans and the Eagles.
Cox throws it onto the left. One last roll of the dice for the Eagles! Leo Barry, you star!
Are you filthy you didn't get that moment to call?
Well, I wasn't calling that game. So Cordes, Tim and I and Cordes, we rotated the grand finals around.
Yeah, the rotation policy
through that
there
period.
At Channel 10,
yes.
Did you? I'm sure not everyone was happy with the rotational policy.
2005, I was hosting, hello, let's go over to Tim and Cordes. So it was quarter time, half time.
Like the medical sub these
days.
Yeah,
pretty much. I was actually sitting with Lee Matthews and Malcolm Blight, so it wasn't a bad way to watch the grand final. But yeah, it's one of the. I mean, it's right up there with the greatest calls of all time from Cordes, and he just, for whatever reason, that was just perfect for that moment. Well, I mean, and
just nailed that moment.
Yeah, and to watch it back and see the mark, it's an extraordinary.
It's unbelievable.
There's players everywhere. There's I mean, there's probably about 3 free kicks in there that weren't paid.
Yes.
And Leo had kicked the ball out, and then Dean Cox had marked and gone back. One last roll of the dice for the Eagle. Leo Barry, you start.
I want to know whether or not you can remember this moment or not. This is Dennis Cometti, 2016 Grand Final, Dogs and Swans.
Tom Boyd's got it. Tom Boyd goes long. How will it bounce? The stadium holds its breath. It's a goal. And the western suburbs erupt.
How magnificent is it?
No,
how magnificent is that call?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Dennis is calling his last ever grand final over there for radio to finish off. He was an incredible commentator, just so unique. And that was when he was, you know, we know he had his lines and all that, but when he called, he was just a magnificent caller. And that was just calling for
it.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And that was just. I actually loved Dennis as a cricket caller when I was growing up, hearing him call the cricket.
Yeah, he was a DJ back in the day too.
he was a bulldog man too, Dan.
A great fellow. We love him. Sandy Robb. I reckon Sandy has been an underrated caller over the years. Have a listen to this one. Now, this is not a grand final, but this is Cats Pies home and away game. Gary Ablett kicks another great goal.
Leaves the ground. Ablett! Couldn't take the mark. Oh, he's a light, Gary Ablett. Look at this. Here is the magician at work. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
That summed up Gary Ablett's career, didn't it?
It did.
More can you say?
Yeah, that was a brilliant line from Sandy. And it was Ablett was. I didn't get to call a lot of Gary Senior, but probably a good thing that I didn't.
You got Gary Junior though.
Gary,
you got the next
Junior,
best
yeah.
thing.
But no, it was a great thrill to call with Sandy for him when he came to Fox. To call with him in the last few years of his career because what a voice he has been for multiple generations.
You haven't brought much to the table today, but you have got one there for.
That's because you did the list, not me.
But you have got one there that you wanted to play. Just set it up for me. This is your Butch Gale. Mike Williamson one. Oh, come on, Anthony, get on the same page for goodness' sake.
Talk about playing my own commentary.
No, not your own.
Okay, so I wanted to play this one. This makes me laugh. You talked earlier about commentators handing things over, and there's certainly when I started off in the country, that's when you're clearly the junior. You just get handed what you get given, and you just take your little 20 seconds until the key caller gets his breath back, and then he calls for the next 3 or 4 minutes.
You get the little tap on the thigh.
So the end of the 1966 grand final, as we know, it's one of the great moments of footy history with the Saints getting their only flag. And Mike Williamson, talk about legendary commentators, when probably just generation before me coming through in terms of when I was growing up. Mike Williamson was the man through the 60s and the 70s. Called the famous Jezelenko, you beauty. Here he is with Butch Gale at the end of the 1966 grand final. So Mike's got the golden voice. Have a listen to what happens when Butch tries to take over.
And we find the ball being driven forward. It's a 10.5 forward for St Kilda. Why not? He'll be paid the mark.
Slow it down. Slow it down.
Yes, he's taking your advice, all right, Ted. Can the Saints hang on and win their first ever?
They've got it.
Oh, golly me.
Why not with the ball now? Comes up. It's going to be a good
That's
long kick.
That's a magnificent kick. It's a ripper. They set themselves up. They go. And we find a magnificent mark taken by Waters once again.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. He just takes mid-flight. The ball is going from half four towards the goal square. And Mike's seen that this could be the mark that wins the grand final. And he just, that's a magnificent kick.
Just quickly, I want to play. This is one of the great ones. And I just, I don't know how much time you spent the night before just anticipating that Buddy was going to kick this many goals down in Tassie. But have a listen to this.
Oh, hang on. Might not be over yet. 5 seconds to go. Oh, that bounce. 13! 13! Can you believe it?
That has gone down in folklore as well.
Well, I reckon you... I actually think you played a part in that, Tim, because I remember then... I just called it and thought it was a great game and a great goal.
Yeah.
And a great performance. But then you started playing on the Monday morning. You started playing, oh, and it's... What's the temperature today? It's going to be 13. From there, it kind of took off. We need to take a break, Tim.
We'll come back with
just replay more of my calls.
We might come back with a great Nick Davis call too.
I know
you don't like
like that at all. And then there was the one. We're here for Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and Garage Doors Redefined. Garage Doors Redefined, 4ddoors.com.au. Gaz will be joining us. Later, he'll be taking over. After the break, a nail-biting grand final moment for Pasload. I'm making it with Pasload, reliability, comfort, performance.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage Doors Redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Tom Sheen outside the boundary, right forward pocket. Can he do it? He steers it at goal. No!
Brilliant call by Jared Waitley there, and that is a great moment from grand finals past, and it's for Pasload. Pasload have been number one since 1986. I'm making it with Pasload. Reliability, comfort, and performance. And Jared's call of Dustin Martin last year, it really met the moment. It was unbelievable. It was absolutely brilliant.
That was brilliant. What was the one that we wanted to play? You've agreed to, Anthony Hudson, I've kindly agreed to name his top five footy calls of all time after 6 days.
Oh, no, I'm not sure I'll be doing that. By the way, if you have just joined us, you're wondering where Gaz is.
Can we tell people? He's setting up
Where is he?
No, he's over in Perth setting up a photo booth for Saturday night if they win the flag.
Excellent start.
He's going to have the cup. I think he's going to charge people 10 or 15 bucks just to have a photo with him in the photo booth.
What do you think, 10 or 15?
I would think 15, probably.
It'll be cash.
He doesn't like talking about all this cup doesn't. Stuff, but he's very, very, he's very nervous.
Can you stuff it up or not, or is it?
No, you can't. He's thinking also of taking some tobacco to the game, and maybe if they do win, just having a pipe while he hands over the cup to Maxi Gorn.
Smoking your fat crap!
The Dennis Cometti, I want to play this. The Dennis Cometti call, Grand Finals, Swans Hawks, 2014, Jeddah and Cyril chasing each other around the boundary line. Have a listen.
Malcheski committed to the pack and did well. Grundy. This is interesting. It's a main event in any stadium in the world. Jeddah pursued by Rioli. Rioli can't go with him. Jeddah wins the gold medal.
It was Bolton Blake all over again, wasn't it?
I think Bruce was jealous.
He wanted to get in.
He was jealous he didn't get to call that because he would have called it magnificently as well. Yeah, as we said, I mean, Dennis, amazing, and Bruce. Well, yep. Just legendary, obviously.
We've had some great calls in this country. Big news yesterday too, Michael Voss named. A lot of people didn't think that Carlton would go with this announcement before the weekend. They thought that maybe the AFL want a clean air in the lead up to the grand final. But once they flew him over to Melbourne, the job was
with
done,
a really big luggage.
Look, you might get the job, but if you don't, you're going to have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine or whatever it might be. There was no way Nani was coming over to Melbourne if he didn't have the job.
No.
That's a great appointment, though.
Well, we'll talk about it in a bit more depth later, but do you think it's the appointment? It feels like he was the right man for where they're at. Well, that's certainly how they've assessed it anyway, in that, you know, what he brings in terms of leadership, and that's what he's put it. That's almost his trademark, I suppose, in what both as a player when he was the captain, but what he's worked on, I suppose, over the last 7 or 8 years. It's sort of where it's cultural is a big part of what they need to turn around the club and turn around their on-field position.
Yeah, I think so. And where he's been, you know, what he brings, but where he's been to some of the experiences that he's had over the journey, and he's standing in the football community, what he was as a player.
Yep.
And you've worked with him. He's a charismatic type of person. He's a real leader. Like, he's a genuine born leader type person too. So You worked with him very early in the piece, didn't you? When he first stepped out of footy,
so he
went in the commentary
footy.
Box.
I was trying to remember the actual order it went in, but he stepped out of footy, and I can't remember how many years he worked at Channel 10. What I always do remember with Vossi, though, is that we used to have these dinners once a month because David Barham would bring us all in for a... It was the highlight of working for Channel 10. Right. We'd bring these beautiful dinners. We'd go and all sit around the table, and we'd just sit there, those of us didn't play, and just listen to the stories from Blighty and Wolsey and Soss and Dakes, and it was just fantastic. But we all agreed that we did a sweep on what round it would be when Wolsey called for Vossie's head the next year as the coach of Brisbane. And I don't know.
And didn't let you down?
Well, I think he lasted that year because they made the finals, didn't they, that year? So he wouldn't have called for his head then, but I'm not sure how long after that it was. But, he's such a driven person. And I think, obviously, it didn't work out for him the first time, but he was always going to do whatever it took to drive to give himself the chance. And I think working under Ken Hinckley and working with some of the people over there was probably perfect for him.
It's amazing how quickly this game can change. That shot yesterday of Brian Cook sitting alongside Sayers, sitting alongside Michael, the Carlton Football Club has just changed dramatically overnight.
And it does show, doesn't it, that for all that they've gone through and the pain through all of this, and it's been handled really poorly. Once you make those appointments, it does feel anew, doesn't it?
Particularly when you
bring in people of the qualities and the standing of Brian Cook and Michael Voss.
And what's going to happen at Geelong now? I'm picking up the paper this morning and reading that that Chris Scott is going to be offered a contract extension.
Yep.
That's been written in the Herald Sun. I think it might be in The Age as well this morning. So that generally seems to be the mood there. But they've got a lot of other positions to fill there at Geelong now too, with everybody stepping out.
Yeah, they do. And I'm sure Michael Voss will have made a call to his old teammate Nigel Lappin, but I think we'll see him.
Will he stay?
I think he'll stay at Geelong, and then they've got a number of. It's amazing, isn't it? A couple of years. I mean, last year we were losing all these assistants with the pandemic and the squeeze that was on the cap. Now you've got multiple clubs looking for quality people, so it's going to be really interesting to watch what happens.
Are you interested to see how it all unfolds and how quickly it does for Trapdoor Hocking when he gets down there at Geelong as well?
I think he's already making some impact down there already.
Oh, he hasn't started yet.
Well, I think he sort of has.